Israel eases ban on American lawmakers
to see her Palestinian grandmother and relatives.
Close call for a racing legend.
Very lucky that they made it out.
New tool on Instagram
to try to ferret out fake news.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, home of original reporting.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. There's been a slight shift from Israel a day after following through on President Trump's urging to ban a visit by two Muslim American congresswomen.
What they've said about Israel and Jewish people is a horrible thing, and they've become the face of the Democrat Party.
A few hours ago, Israel said it would let one of them, Michigan's Rashida Tlaib, in to visit her grandmother in the West Bank. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
They plan to go on a humanitarian visit of the West Bank to see the living conditions of Palestinians. They've been harshly critical of Israel's treatment of them. But now that that trip is off, the itinerary is canceled, and Tlaib says she's just going to visit her grandmother.
A Jerusalem correspondent Robert Berger tells us Prime Minister Netanyahu, at the center of all this, faces a tough election in 3 weeks.
The ban plays well with Netanyahu's base, which basically opposes people coming to the West Bank to promote a boycott. On the other hand, the Israeli electorate is a lot broader than just his right wing, and I think a lot of people felt uncomfortable with banning U.S. congresswomen, considering all the support Israel gets from America.
Well, scary moments at an airport in eastern Tennessee. A small plane crash landed, erupted in flames as it came to a stop. CBS's Omar Villafranca tells us NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family were on board.
Everybody come out right?
Paramedics are seen tending to Earnhardt after his plane ran off the runway Thursday afternoon.
According to some witness statements, just after it hit the ground, it started burning.
Firefighters arrived on the scene within minutes. Two pilots, Earnhardt, his wife Amy, and their one-year-old daughter Isla managed to escape the crash uninjured.
The first arriving unit reported flames visible, but the occupants were already out of the plane.
The nose of the plane and the door stayed intact while excess fuel continued to burn.
Were the flames coming from an area where they would have been sitting?
I'm sure they were, yes.
Earnhardt was due to be a commentator on a race broadcast this weekend, but will now skip the event. Overseas, North Korea has fired a new round of missiles and has vowed to quit talking with South Korea. CBS's Cammie McCormick is at the Pentagon.
These latest launches, believed to be two short-range ballistic missiles, came just hours after Pyongyang criticized South Korea for continuing military exercises with the U.S. But North Korea is also frustrated over the slow pace of nuclear negotiations. The missiles landed in the waters between the Korean Peninsula and Japan.
Well, President Trump went to Manchester, New Hampshire last night. CBS's Paula Reed says he told supporters, whether you love me or hate me, you have to vote for me.
The president defended his ongoing trade war with China, which economists say is partly to blame for the market plunge this week.
We are doing very well with China, despite the fact that they want to have you believe to the contrary.
Voters in attendance said their support is unwavering.
I think that he proved himself a lot in the last 3 years. The market, the stocks, the jobs, the economy.
And in his first rally since mass shootings in Ohio and Texas, he stood firm on supporting gun owners' rights.
We will always uphold the right to self-defense, and we will always uphold the Second Amendment. We will.
There's word President Trump has discussed the idea of the U.S. buying a big chunk of real estate, the world's biggest island, Greenland. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The giant Arctic island of Greenland is nearly 80% covered by ice, its interior uninhabited, total population roughly 60,000. But Greenland has rather abundant mineral resources and some strategic importance. The Wall Street Journal reports the president has reportedly been sounding out aides about America making a bid for the Danish territory. There's precedent for this, of course. President Woodrow Wilson acquired what were then known as the Danish West Indies in 1917. Today we call them the U.S. Virgin Islands. President Trump is expected to meet with the leader of Denmark during a visit to Copenhagen early next month. But today, Danish politicians are flat out rejecting the idea of a real estate deal for Greenland. Steve?
A big crowd is expected tonight in El Paso for the funeral of 63-year-old Margie Record. She was one of the 22 Walmart shooting victims. Earlier this week, her husband urged people to come. He's left with no other family. Since then, condolences and flowers have poured in. New York City's police commissioner says there's a mental health emergency in his department. CBS's Jeff Pagaz tells us two officer suicides this week have added to a growing toll.
The NYPD has seen 9 deaths by suicide this year alone, 7 since June. Last year, there were 4 total. Police Commissioner James O'Neill.
It's beyond a challenge. It's a crisis. You think, okay, this is going to be the last one, and what the hell's going on here?
At least 124 officers nationwide have taken their lives this year. Departments in Chicago, Arizona, and New York are adding more counselors to deal with the crisis.
Well, last October, a gunman shot and killed 2 people in a Kroger grocery store in the Louisville area. Now the family of one of the victims has filed a civil suit against the chain. Kroger does not prohibit customers from carrying guns as long as local law allows it. Kentucky does. Ron Johnson is an attorney representing the family.
You don't need a gun to buy groceries. You can't carry a gun into your school. You can't carry a gun into the courthouse. And what we're simply saying is grocery stores need to do the same thing.
The suit details more than 24 gun-related incidents in and around Kroger stores nationwide. New tool on Instagram will let users report a post they think is misinformation. Then third-party fact-checkers will look into it. CBS News tech analyst Larry Maggott.
Allowing users to report posts that they think are false is certainly one way Facebook-owned Instagram can try to ferret out fake news. But it's not the only way. There is artificial intelligence, and there's the vetting of stories that appear on the service by fact-checking organizations around the world, which have a good reputation for determining what's true and what isn't.
Posts won't be pulled down but won't appear when users search for content. 50 years ago today, the throng at Woodstock was settling into day 2, the crowd growing larger and the weather turning threatening.
When I realized that we were getting up close to the 500,000 mark, I became quite apprehensive.
That was Max Yasger, owner of the farm where the festival played. Then came the rain that turned meadows into mud baths.
But instead of this being a huge disaster, people came together and sort of found their joy in it.
Gina Arnold, author of the book 500,000 Strong, says calamity brought out the best in the community. As CBS News reported,
housewives handed out hot coffee to stranded youngsters who had not eaten in days.
Lots of people turning out in Graceland for a day-long vigil to mark Elvis Presley's death 42 years ago today. The Elvis estate in Memphis draws about 500,000 people every year. And that's the World News Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.